What comes to mind when I say Kenny A versus Purdue, the state of Georgia?
Oh, many, many years of hard work on the part of advocates in the state of Georgia that really saw a system that was in many ways failing children. And years ago, they finally got together and they filed a lawsuit. And so what comes to mind when you say Kenny A for me are those nameless, faceless children that have suffered under the system for so long.
And when you say they filed a lawsuit, you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about Children's Rights Incorporated. They're a nonprofit organization based out of New York City. They partnered with local counsel from the Bondurant law firm, and they filed in federal court.
Can you talk about what was happening? Give us some examples here.
Ooh, well, back then, we had a system in which we did not have a centralized data system in which we could track children. So oftentimes, in order to find out where a child was placed, it was buried in a paper file on someone's desk. And so you can imagine, we lost a lot of children. We just didn't know where they were. A lot of children languished in the system back then, where they were staying in foster care for far too long, not reaching permanency, not being reunited with their families, and not being able to be placed for adoption. And so there were so many areas in the system that needed addressing. There was also a lot of instances in which children that were in sibling groups, when they come into the system, the policy and good practice is to place those children together. Because it's already traumatic for children to be taken away from their homes, but to be split up from their brothers and sisters. And so there weren't enough foster homes, and children were being placed all over the state.
When you were appointed by the court, be one of two monitors, you are tasked with overseeing the state's foster care system and making sure, not just making sure they were doing the right things, but helping them undo all the wrong stuff, in a sense.
And actually, I did not want to do it. And so I was not one of the original monitors.
You were a replacement.
I was a replacement. And so it was 2 years ago now that one of the original monitors left the work. And so when they came and asked me in 2012, I gave them a list of names of people that I thought they should consider.
Why didn't you want to do it?
Well, a number of reasons. One, it is a daunting task. I have a love-hate relationship when it comes to consent decrees and lawsuits. I think that in many instances, they've been that final straw that have enabled states to really progress and change their systems. I think in other states, they have languished for way too long. There are some states that have been under consent decrees for 30 years. And so if you can imagine, a lot of the issues that were originally litigated either no longer exist or new ones have popped up, and they're still operating under this system. And so after talking to both parties, talking to the plaintiffs, as well as talking to the state, I felt like there were leaders on both sides that truly wanted to make a difference and truly wanted to see the system improve for children.
I'm going to talk about some of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Kara B., a 14-year-old girl who went through 10 to different placements before ending up in a residential treatment facility where she was sexually abused by a staff member. Sabrina and Karina E., two African-American sisters, 3 years old and 1 year old, deprived of a speedy adoption because the couple who wanted to adopt them was not African-American. Mm. Maya C., described as a spirited 17-year-old former honor student who became hopeless and abandoned her education after being placed in one of the shelters. So these cases you were far familiar with.
Absolutely. And I was actually sitting on the bench in juvenile court in Fulton County back when we had shelters. And that was a huge impetus to get this lawsuit going. The shelters were absolutely atrocious. I remember one day I had a young girl come into court. And when I was reading the complaint, it said that she was removed from her mother, who slapped her in a department store And it was enough of a slap that it caused a lot of ruckus and the child was brought into care. Well, the young lady that came into my courtroom had a black eye. And I remember saying to the parties before me, this looks like more than a slap. And their response was, this occurred in the shelter. And so we took her from her mother, and she was even more assaulted in the shelter that was supposed to be providing her a safe place. And so the shelters were a non-starter. By the time the lawsuit was filed, Fulton County had already closed theirs, and DeKalb County was well on their way to closing theirs as well. The cases that you cited used to be very familiar to me. And I'm really pleased to say that I don't see those types of tragic cases as much anymore, because they really have done a lot to improve the system since 2002.
So in 2002, the complaint is filed.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a long list of sort of mandates that Georgia's foster care system has to meet by a certain period of time. Your duties as one of the state-appointed monitors, even just 2 years ago, included what?
To monitor all of those measures that they agreed to meet. There are 31 different outcome measures, as well as various subsets of things that they've agreed to do. And the consent decree is written in a way that they have to achieve substantial compliance across all of those measures for 3 consecutive 6-month periods, so for 18 months. And there are some measures that the state has met every single time decree started.
Can you give an example?
They, until recently, had always met the requirement that there would be no corporal punishment in foster homes once children were brought into care. It's a policy of the department, and they are very stringent about that. They train their foster parents. They are constantly talking about those issues, monitoring those homes. So that's something they were doing well. Previously, the visitation issues, whether or not children were actually visiting with their parents, whether or not caseworkers were actually seeing children, that was an issue. But for the past at least 6 reporting periods, they have met those measures. And so there are a lot of things that they have improved upon.
Are you able to talk about what challenges still remain even to this day as you sit here and speak with me?
Well, all of the monitoring reports are public. They're posted on the Georgia State University Andrew Young School of Public Policy website. And so there are a lot of things that I can discuss. The state has continued to struggle around issues of safety, such as maltreatment and care.
When we talk about the training that prospective foster parents must go through, mm-hmm. and then you talk about the training of from social workers as well, that's a lot of training for everybody.
Absolutely.
But are we talking about in terms of resources and what was missing and what still needs to happen? Is it all based on not having enough money to put in the resources to not just meet these measures, mm-hmm. but to continue? Because training takes time and money. There's health care for the children. There's all these other facilities, the treatment.
It does. But I will say that this state has responded well to what the system needs. And so this governor, Governor Deal, has put in a lot more resources into the department than ever before in the last 10 years or so. They're adding more caseworkers. There is an increase in the number of children coming into care. And so we need more caseworkers in order to make sure that the caseloads are small enough that they can really tend to the needs of every single child.
Well, and that was one of the complaints that we heard from caseworkers saying, my load is just too much right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be clear. When I was at the juvenile court, it was pretty regular that a case manager may have 50, 60, 70 cases. But in Fulton and DeKalb counties now, they are endeavoring to keep those caseloads down, depending on the type of case. And that was unheard of 10 years ago. We need more case managers. And the department is hiring. They are having hiring panels on a regular basis. But it is also a job that doesn't pay a lot. it's a very difficult job. And many of the case managers that do this work are just really strong men and women who feel called to help children and families.
Let's talk about the process for children who are transitioning out of foster care, too, because, again, here we talk about resources that's needed. You can't, just when they turn 18, say, well, there you go.
Yeah. And unfortunately, across the country, you know, a lot of times that happens. And so those children who are aging out of care at 18, the statistics are dismal. The number that are homeless, the number that end up in the criminal justice system, the number of young women who are pregnant, and I could go on and on, the number that don't get their education. In Georgia, they've now flipped the notion that you age out at 18, and instead, the conversation is you can opt out, but otherwise, you're with us until you are able to be on your own.
So what does that mean when you say you're with us?
That means you can stay in care up until, I believe, the age of 21, as long as you're in school. And the state of Georgia will pay for you to go to college. And so in addition to the Pell grants and the other grants and things that you qualify for because you're basically an independent person, that the state has dedicated funding to cover the gap so that young people who are in foster care can go to college.
As you sit here today and we're having this discussion, and you're still one of the court-appointed monitors, the progress that's been made from 2002, it's a world of difference here.
Yes, a world of difference. One of the things that is needed is consistent, strong leadership. Leadership matters. And we have leadership in place now that if they can stay and have the opportunity to ride this thing out, this state will exit this consent decree. And I look forward to that day because I think that those are resources that could be rechanneled into providing more services to the children and families that need them.
Dr. Karen Baines-Dunny, one of the two court-appointed monitors for Georgia's foster care system, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.